Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining me tonight for episode 21, season 1 of The Standoff with Brad here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season, and also you can catch us on iHeartRadio if you remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. So only two teams left in the race for the 2020 Premiership after a pair of fantastic clashes this week, and I'm going to look forward to about discussing them with you guys tonight. Now, while as always, when I'm talking to you guys, we're going to cover everything you need to know in rugby league, including the top stories of the week, a wrap-up of the finals week 3, a preview of the grand final, and news on rugby league from around the world, including the women's game in New Zealand local scene. So tune in to get your rugby league news, and remember to send me comments and questions throughout the show. Let's get into the top news. So I think the biggest news would probably be the Dally M's. They were this week. Obviously, we'll go over the controversy at the start. The Daily Telegraph had a bit of a mishap. They accidentally leaked the results 3 hours before the event started. They quickly took them down, but it was a bit too late because social media, once they got out there, they spread it around like wildfire. The NRL have come out and vowed to investigate how this happened. Why it happened, not too sure if heads will roll for it or not. Probably some poor intern that accidentally pushed the wrong button, might be in a bit of hot water, but it could actually lead to media not getting the results ahead of time in the future, which will be a big loss for them. But with nowadays, with how media is, it's meant to be quite quick. They could basically respond as soon as things happen. I know with what I do for writing, I write match results for a website, and you kind of go as it's going. So I think they can do the same as the events kind of rolling out. Just put your bits and pieces in, get it up and go. So yeah, a bit unfortunate for the media there, but hopefully they'll sort their issues out. So we'll go into the top award for the night, which was the Dally M Player of the Year. It went to Jack Whiten from the Raiders. There was a few interesting marks in the last few games. Jack Whiten got 3 points in the Raiders game against the Warriors, and I thought that was a bit weird for him to get the three, considering he had a sin bin and didn't really have the best game. But apart from that, he's had a pretty good season, so not too phased that he got the top nod. For the Dally M Female Player of the Year, it went to Broncos' Ellie Bringenshaw, who has had a fantastic season, so great to see her get that. Coach of the Year went to Ivan Cleary from the Panthers. Kind of hard not to give it to a guy who's had 17 wins in a row. The Provan Summons Award actually went to the New Zealand Warriors. It's an accolade that's usually given to an individual player who best demonstrates the qualities of sportsmanship, courage, and respect. But for this year, due to the sacrifices the Warriors have made, they gave it to the whole team. I think it was a great little nod. Obviously, Warriors fans would have liked the team to get into the playoffs. But for everything they've done to keep the season alive, I think it was a nice little touch to give them that award, show them a bit of love now that they're back on home soil. Top point scorer award went to Adam Reynolds from the Rabbitohs. Rookie of the year went to Harry Grant from the Tigers / Storm. The Kev Irvine medalist for highest try scorer went to Alex Johnston from the Rabbitohs. The Peter Frelingo's headline moment of the year was Project Apollo, which Project Apollo was basically the whole project to keep the NRL alive during COVID. It involved getting Apollo leaders to basically join every club. So I know the Warriors had Marco Mealy as their Apollo leader, and they're basically in there making sure that the teams are doing everything that they are meant to in order to have no little COVID breaks or anything that could jeopardize the season. Some of them did their job well. Some of them, like the one with the Broncos, when they darted out of quarantine a few times, probably had a bit of a reprimand. But, yeah, pretty good highlight moment of the year. Captain of the year actually went to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck from the Warriors. I've seen a few people in the media a bit unhappy that he got it, saying that James Tamo probably should have got it for how well the Panthers have gone. But I think the Captain of the Year award's not just for how your team performs, but how you are as a captain and a leader. And I think if Roger had decided to just go home because he was missing his family, I think you would have seen the Warriors implode. So I think he was quite instrumental, along with Todd Payton, of course, in keeping the Warriors not only competitive, but to keep them actually focus-orientated on getting through the season and trying to make the fans a bit happy at home who are a bit starved of live league. The Women's Rookie of the Year went to Kennedy Cherrington from the Roosters. The Women's Try of the Year went to the Warriors as well, with Madison Bartlett for her try that she scored in the weekend, and again, we'll talk about shortly. The Tackle of the Year was for Hannah Southwell from the Roosters. The VB Hard-Earned Player of the Year award actually had two winners. It went to Jake Trbojevic and Tohu Harris. That's basically just VB would nominate players each round as their player of the week, basically, and it was just whoever had the most points at the end of the season got it. So it went to those two. Try of the year for the NRL went to Katoni Staggs from the Broncos, and tackle of the year went to Josh Papali from the Raiders for his big rundown tackle, ankle tap on the Titans. So that was the whole list of all the awards. Then after that, they are named the Dally M Team of the Year. It's the first time a full 13's been named, and the Panthers actually dominated this, as you'd expect, with five players named. Interesting, though, there was no Roosters selected at all. So kind of a bit of a fall from grace for the Roosters. But at fullback, we had Clint Gutherson. The wings were David Nofaluma and Josh Adokar from the Tigers and the Storm. The centres were Katoni Staggs and Stephen Crichton from the Broncos and Panthers. 5'8 was your Dally M, Jack Whiten. Halfback was Nathan Cleary. Your props were Josh Papali from the Raiders and James Fisher-Harris from the Panthers. Your hooker was Cameron Smith from the Storm. Your second rowers were Valami Kakau from the Panthers and Tohu Harris from the Warriors. And then your lock was Isaiah Yeo from the Panthers. So, not the way the Warriors wanted to end their season, of course, but great to see them get a few individual honours at the Dally M's, which was good to see. I think Tohu Harris, especially, I think it was his best year in a Warriors jersey, so I think he thoroughly deserved that award and definitely deserved a spot in that 13. So, yeah, that was all I had on the Dally M's. Pretty expected, apart from Jack Whiten getting it. I thought Nathan Cleary was going to be a shoo-in for it. But, yeah, good to see someone get the nod. And I think they said Jack Whiten's the first player to get a Dally M and a Clive Churchill without actually winning a grand final. So interesting little bit of stats there for you. And, yeah, I agree with you there, Mark. I thought Chanel's try was actually quite impressive and involved the whole team. So it should have been try of the year. But Katoni Stagg's big solo effort was quite impressive, though. So I can see why they went with that. But I've got my one eye out for the Warriors there. So on to more news. There was a bit of a ticketing glitch at Suncorp Stadium before the game of the weekend, which saw thousands of fans unable to enter the stadium until 8 minutes into the first half. Bit of an embarrassment for Suncorp, but from what I understand, there was a glitch with the ticket scanners, so it wouldn't scan and cause them to miss quite an exciting first 8 minutes too, unfortunately, for those fans. But unfortunate for Suncorp, and I'm sure they're going to work on it for when they have their next big game, which I believe is Origin. Speaking of Origin, Mal Meninga has joined Wayne Bennett in the coaching staff for Queensland. Interesting. I know in the past they've had a few personal issues and haven't really got along. Be interesting to see how they work together, but Queensland's really just turning up every table to see what they can find to get themselves competitive against what has been a really good New South Wales side. And as a Queensland fan, hopefully they get it done and give us a quite competitive contest in November. Jack Bird, he's expected to sign with the Dragons. Anthony Griffin, the new coach, has coached him before at the Broncos, and he's quite a fan of Bird. And be interesting to see if that actually happens or not. I know that Bird's been kind of told he's free to go if he gets a deal. So hopefully by this time next week, we might have some more news on it. Going along with the signings type of deal, the Raiders have signed Caleb Atkins from the Panthers. Very good signing. He's a very talented young player. And with the Raiders losing Nick Kotrick to the Bulldogs, I think they need some more players out on their edges. So I think he'll give them some depth there, which is going to be really good. The Knights have also re-signed Connor Watson. There's been a few issues with the Knights this year, as we've seen with their hookers and going down injured. But Connor Watson's a nice young talent that they're going to want to keep their hands on in case they have a few more bad injuries at hooker. Ethan Lowe from the Cowboys has actually retired. He was with the Cowboys too, but he retired this week. He's had a long career. Quite a good player that doesn't really get a lot of reps in the media, but it's good to see him finally hang it up and get to enjoy some post-career footy without getting too much injuries. So good to see him go out. Unfortunately, it wasn't in the grand final, which is like your storybook finish, but I wish him well in the rest of his opportunities, wherever they may be. Nelson Asofa Solomona has actually come out this week and announced that he's turned down offers from rugby union to commit his immediate future with the Storm and Rugby League. He's only 24 years old at the moment, despite being a former schoolboy star in Wellington. He's still got a lot to offer to rugby league. So I think it's a great, great win for the 13-man code. And hopefully they can lock him down long term and keep him around. More signing news with Lachlan Burr, former Warrior. He's actually followed his coach, Todd Payton, and he's joined the Cowboys on a two-year deal. I'm quite a fan of Burr. I think he played pretty well this year for the Warriors and thought he definitely deserved a lifeline in another club, and it's very good to see he's got one now. And I hope he does well for them, just hopefully not too well when they play the Warriors. And speaking of the Warriors, there's been some news about preseason for them. So there were rumours that Cameron George and the like were thinking of splitting up the team, and it's actually been confirmed. They're splitting the team into two camps. One camp will be based in Auckland, and the other camp will be on the New South Wales South Coast. Cameron George is going to meet with the NRL either this week or the beginning of next week to get a better understanding of the biosecurity measures proposed for the preseason. But he's confirmed that they are definitely staying in these two camps until Christmas. New coach Nathan Brown's just waiting on some ticks of approval, and then he's going to be coming to Auckland and leading the camp here, and Justin Morgan's going to be looking after the camp in Australia. So it'll be interesting to see how that helps, if it helps the players mesh, or if it's going to be a detriment to their season if they're split at the start of it. I think it's a good thing at the moment to keep the Aussie-born players that are there with their families over there, and have all the Kiwi boys stay here for a little bit longer. So time will tell what happens with the rest of the season next year. But good to see that the Warriors are actually being proactive and getting some plans in place. And just before we went on the show, there was a bit of breaking news still surrounding the Warriors a bit. But the Parramatta Eels have actually signed Isaiah Papali'i on a 2-year deal. I think it's a very good pickup for them. I think Papali'i was not really having the best time with the Warriors. He was finding himself struggling to get into the 17, especially with the likes of Katoa and that coming into the frame. So I think he needed a bit of a fresh start somewhere. And I think Parramatta Eels there, as we talked last week, they got rid of a lot of players. So there's a lot of room there to make your mark. And fingers crossed he does well for them. So that's really all I got for the news right now. So I'll just crack on to the finals week. So on Friday night, we had the Storm defeat the Raiders 30-10. This means the Storm have made their fourth grand final in 5 years. And the Storm, as we mentioned, a lot of fans couldn't get into the ground for the first 8 minutes. And in the first 10 minutes, the Storm went up 16-0. So they missed quite a lot of attacking prowess from the Storm. The Storm really dominated the whole match, but it was around the 30th minute where the Raiders kind of got themselves back into it with Nick Kotrick scoring a try off a bomb. The Raiders did look to be the better side at the start of the second half, but unfortunately for Raiders and the Raiders fans, their forward pack just didn't really front up. As we see here on the table, basically their whole journey to this match was built on the back of their forward pack. Their forward pack was getting them a lot of good momentum and letting the likes of Jack Whiten and George Williams kind of have a bit of a field day with some open space. But the forward pack really picked a bad day to go missing, unfortunately. The Storm, though, they just appeared, as cliche as it sounds, to want it more. Two examples I have of this were Justin Olam's try, where he snatched a wayward deflection from Nick Kotrick in the in-goal area to score. And then also involving Nick Kotrick again, Cameron Smith in the 67th minute, doing a try-saving tackle, keeping Kotrick from inches from scoring. Just shows that they've got a lot of heart and desire, and should lead to a great grand final between them and the Panthers. Speaking of Smith, there was a bit of a talking point after the game where he left the match in the 75th minute, waved to the crowd and everything, and then at the end of the game, his teammates carried him off the field on his shoulders, sparking rumours that this could be the last game he plays at Suncorp and that he might be hanging the boots up. At the press conference afterwards, he said that he hasn't made a decision yet and that he's not sure what he's going to do and if that's the last game there. My opinion, I'm not really sure what he's going to do, but I think if they win the grand final, I think he'll retire. If they don't win, I think he might try to go another year. Time's going to tell with that. He doesn't seem to really want to let anyone know his decision yet, but as soon as he tells us, I'll let you guys know. On the game itself, though, I think Jerome Hughes was integral to the Storm's victory. He played a part in the first four of the Storm's tries, and he's been great this season. It's come a long way. It wasn't that long ago that the Storm were looking to move him on out of his contract because they didn't really have that belief in him, I guess you could say. And same can be said for Ryan Papenhuyzen actually as well, their superstar fullback right now. They're looking at offloading both of those players, changed their minds at the last minute, and they're reaping the rewards now because those two have been fantastic this year. Tough day for the Raiders, but you can expect them to be right back in the hunt next year. They're losing John Bateman and Nick Kotrick, and that's going to be massive losses, but they've got a lot of young talent that can step up. So Raiders fans should still be confident that they can have a decent stab next year. That leads to the last game of the preliminary final on Saturday. we got the Panthers defeating the Rabbitohs 20-16. 17th win in a row for the Panthers. But man, they had to work for it. They bombed several scoring opportunities, but got the ones that counted, which I guess will keep their fans happy. Rabbitohs did come to play and look the better side in the first 40 minutes, going out to 14-6 lead. But towards the end, they just looked tired and started making silly errors, a lot like I had spoken about a few weeks ago, that they were plagued throughout the season, just making silly errors, and that if they learnt to hold the ball, they could beat any team. Fortunately, in this game, they couldn't hold on to the ball, and they came out second best, unfortunately. Both sides' forward packs came to play. It made for a lot of bruising clashes up the middle, which is always exciting for a former forward like myself. But I think the Panthers pack just had a bit more gas and probably coming off having a nice rest a few weeks back. Isaiah Yao really got the Panthers back into a game with he had a nice break in the middle of the park, went into open space and set up Dylan Edwards to get to try to get them ahead, and then they just never looked like stopping. And the Rabbitohs did try to come back for the upset, but unfortunately for Adam Reynolds, his toes were just a little bit too long and had his foot on the line for the 40-20, which unfortunately for them gave the Panthers a bit of an out. If his foot was just a little bit back and that 40-20 was legit, we could be talking about a different grand final right now. But Cleary, once again, he was the difference, I think. For a player so young, he's got such a mature head on his shoulders. When the pressure's on, he fronts up. He doesn't go into hiding. And he really leads the side round. I think Panthers fans will be hoping for more of the same this week to give them their 18th win in a row and their first premiership in 17 years. Rabbitohs, well, they gave us plenty of exciting matches in the past 6 weeks, but they're going to be disappointed with how they went out. It's their second year in a row they've bowed out in the preliminary final. And, very unfortunate for them, but they showed us what they're capable of. And I think next year with a fully fit Latrell Mitchell, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So, yeah, my picks, I went 2-2 again, so I picked the Storm and the Panthers and got it right. So for my finals tally, I'm 7-8, so I'm pretty good. If Sanjay was here, he might be beating me, but we won't know, thankfully. But that leads us to the grand final. So on Sunday the 25th, the Panthers paying $2.15, playing the Storm, paying $1.75 at ANZ Stadium in Sydney. Fact that the Panthers are going in as underdogs, despite being on a 17-game winning streak, is crazy in my opinion. I know the Storm are good, but if you've got that many wins in a row, you shouldn't be underdogs. Storm are clinical, though, which could be an issue, and the Panthers are going to need to ensure that they don't make silly errors like they did against the Rabbitohs. Those errors could come back to bite them against a team like the Storm, who don't like making errors and like to take advantage of every opportunity they get. Vilami Kikau is going to be back for the Panthers. That's a massive inclusion for them, and he's going to be causing a lot of havoc on that left edge. Brandon Smith for the Storm, he's been named after copping a head knock last week. He's been cleared of no serious injury there. There were real thoughts that unfortunately he may have re-injured his broken jaw that he got a few weeks back, but it's all in the clear, so very good to see him get a shot to play in the grand final. This match is really hard to call. Both sides have got a lot of talent, and it's going to wind down to which team has the better game plan to shut down the other team's threats. Panthers are obviously going to want to shut down Munster, Cameron Smith, and Ryan Pappenhausen, and the Storm are going to look to want to shut down Upi Carousel, Cleary, Luai. If they can shut them down, they might be on the way to a win. I think really this game's going to come down to the hookers, Cameron Smith and Upi Carousel. The rules this year have really made it that the hooker's your most important player on the field. And while Cameron Smith is probably the best hooker out there, I'm giving the edge to Upi Carousel. I think he's so dangerous running out of the ruck and causing opportunities that I think his his quickness is going to be the difference here. So I'm going with my gut and I'm picking the Panthers to win the grand final. Got my fingers crossed. I put money on them quite a while ago to win the whole thing, so that might work in my favor. But I think it's going to be a great grand final to watch, and should be probably the best grand final we've had in quite some time. Simon, what are you doing that to me for? Storm by 10. That could very well happen as well. So before we get into any questions, I'll just put it down again that I've gone with the Panthers, and we'll see if I'm right or Simon's right where we talk next week. So before I move on, Paul, do we have any questions from everyone listening?
Yeah, we've got a couple of questions from the chat. Bobby Kirby wants to know, the 2021 season, are there any additions you'd like to make to the Warriors squad?
Yeah, I still think the Warriors need a hooker. I know Wade Egan and Carl Lawton have done well there, but as I just mentioned about the Storm and Panthers, the hooker's really the linchpin in your team being good or not performing. And I think I would still like to – I'm hoping Cameron Smith says I want to play on, and then Brandon Smith says I want to get out, and then we just throw everything at him and bring him home. But I think a nice little hooker in there. There's a few around. There's Danny Levi's off contract. I know not a lot of people rate him, but I think he's quite a solid little hooker. He's very quick out of dummy half too. So I think hooker's really the biggest place I think there's a weakness for the Warriors. So that's what I'd be looking at.
So Vicky's got a couple of questions. First up, though, any news on Adam Cregan?
No, Adam Kieran, still no news. The Warriors have been announcing all the players that are leaving, as I mentioned a bit last week. They announced a few more this week as well, but Adam Kieran still hasn't been given a fond farewell, and there isn't any news from the club about him re-signing either. So I'm not too sure. I'm hoping that this delay is meaning they're keeping him around, because I think he's a very talented footballer and deserves another crack in the side. But yeah, unfortunately, no news as of yet.
And also, which teams in this year's playoffs do you think will fall next year, and who will take their place? Just going to bring up the final table so you can have a quick look there. So out of Panthers, Storm, Eels, Roosters, Raiders, Rabbitohs, Knights and Sharks, who do you think there will not be in the top eight next year?
Ooh, put my Nostradamus cap on. See if I get myself in trouble when we do the show next season. I think looking at that, I think Knights and Sharks are probably the most at risk for bowing out. And I'll go out on a limb here and make myself look like a dick for next season, but I think the Roosters are going to fall as well. I don't know if they'll fall all the way out of the eight, but I think they're a bit too old. And I'll just pick a plunge there. I've picked those three because I've picked three that I think are going to make it up. So I had to pick three to go out. I think the Titans, I think, will be there next year. I think they showed a lot of improvement this year. And plus the new talent they've got coming on, I think they're going to be a very good side. The Warriors, you never really know with the Warriors, but I think they're building quite a good team. And hopefully the extra grit they earned this year from being stuck in Australia sticks around with Nathan Brown taking over. So I think they'll get in there as well. Where they're going to fall in that top eight, I'm not sure, but I think they'll squeak in. And my last one is the Sea Eagles. They really didn't do well this year, but they've got a lot of good talent that were injured, and they didn't really do well on the injury front. So I think if they can stay healthy, I think they've got a decent shot. Before this season even started, a lot of people had picked them to be in the grand final this year. So it shows the quality they have. They're just going to make sure they stay on the park. So, yeah, we'll write it down. I've got Roosters, Knights, Sharks out, and Titans, Warriors, Seagulls in.
And Mark agrees with you on two of those. He also says the rumours in Australia are that AK is linked with the Roosters. So we'll have to see what where Adam lands.
Hopefully not. But if he goes to the Roosters, it's not a bad team to get another chance with. They're, even though I've picked them to not make the eight, they're a quality side. So if he goes there, I'll probably change my pick and say they'll make it.
Wow, he's that bigger. Will make that bigger difference, eh? That's the questions we've got from the live chat.
Awesome, cheers for that, Paul. So, if that's all the questions, I'll go into the women's news now. So, the women's games all done and dusted. The Warriors had the first game in the last round, defeating the Dragons 22-10. Warriors get to end their season on a high note with a dominant win. And also a nice little personal touch before the match started. They actually performed a little haka, which is always great to see. Good to see the Aussie girls actually in there doing it as well. I think it was a nice little touch just to make them look like a more cohesive unit. Unfortunately for the Dragons, they had to play this match with only 16 players due to a last-minute injury. Obviously only having 16 players isn't going to help you, and it's a disappointing year for the Dragons. They didn't notch up a win at all this year, and I'm sure they would have been confident they could have done a bit more, especially after they made the grand final last year. For the Warriors, though, Ivania Polite, Elia Green and Karina Brown, I think, were the standouts in this match. But I think Georgia Hale needs a lot of props heading her way as well. She actually led the competition in tackles, making 116, and she only missed three. Only missed three. And in that last game against the Dragons here, she made 43 tackles with not a single missed tackle. Fantastic player. That's earned her comparisons to Simon Mannering as a Warriors legend. Despite the result, though, I think the way Brad Donald has got the Warriors team together in the limited amount of time he had was very commendable. Much like the men's side, thanks, Mark. Yeah, the team actually performed a little haka as well after the game for the fans that have been going and supporting them. So great to see them show some love to the fans that are getting to all the games. But yeah, despite the result, yeah, Brad Donald, he's done a lot to get these guys together as a unit. It's hard in these situations as it is, but the fact that the team was a mismatch of all sorts of players from all over the place, including sevens, it's really hard to get a team working together. But yeah, great to see them getting together. And I'm really hoping that, much like the men's side, the five players that went over to the camp in Australia take what they've learned and bring it back and help the whole team grow in 2021. That leads to the final match for the women, which was the Broncos defeating the Roosters 24-16. The grand finalists got a warm-up match against each other this week, and the Broncos are going to have a bit of a mental edge after this victory, I think. I talked about it last week that the Broncos made a few too many errors last week, and I think this match you saw the after effects of that as they tried to not overplay their hand a bit. But the key was they just kept the pressure on the Roosters and didn't let up. And despite not scoring a ton load of points, they got the points that counted and got the win. For the Roosters, I think the loss of seven-star Charlotte Kaslik for the season, which was announced during the week before this game, took a lot of sting out of their attack. She's been by far their best attacking weapon. Just took the sting out. But they were able to keep themselves in the hunt, which I think is going to give them a lot of confidence going into the grand final this week. To hold a team that's as dangerous as the Broncos to such a narrow margin gives them that little bit of a pep that they might be able to get the upset. It was another fantastic game to watch and further points to the need to expand this competition and get some more teams involved and make a bit more of a competition out of it as opposed to just playing three games and going home. So that means on the 25th, of October at the grand final at ANZ Stadium, we're going to see the Roosters and Broncos play again. Broncos have really looked unstoppable for the entire competition, so I have to pick them to win the grand final. But hopefully the Roosters give them another tight clash. And that leads me into our overseas news. So I don't have as much, unfortunately, but the biggest news, I think, coming out of Super League is that the Old Trafford is not going to host the Super League grand final this year. It's the first time since 98 that they haven't got to have the game there. Due to the COVID pandemic and the delayed competition, it's actually meant that Manchester United's football schedule has made Old Trafford unavailable for rugby league. So that's why they have to move on. And no word on where the final's going to be right now, but there's several stadiums they're currently looking at for consideration. So hopefully we've got some news on that in the near future. Also, in terms of near future, there's still no word on the Toronto Wolfpack being included in the Super League next year. The decision should be made by the end of this week. I believe they have a meeting on Friday. So hopefully we've got some more news on that when we cover the show next week. But hopefully for the Toronto fans, they come back into the comp. I think it would be a big missed opportunity if Toronto are out, because they want to get into that market over in Canada and try to spread the league around. And that will answer the question that everyone's asking about where Sonny's going to go. Be interesting to see. I think if the Wolfpack are included again, he'll be there with them. If they get denied, I think it opens up a whole new avenue on what he's going to do, and will probably make for a lot of media stories, which I'm sure they will love. But I'm pretty confident the Wolfpack are going to be back in there, and that means Sonny Bill will be back with them too. But going on with more Super League news, the Challenge Cup final was actually in the weekend. The Leeds Rhinos defeated the Salford Red Devils 17-16. Luke Gale slotted a late drop goal to hand them their first Challenge Cup in 5 years. I didn't get to watch all of the game, but I got to see highlights, and good to see some players in there that I recognize do well. Conrad Harrell, obviously from the Warriors and the Titans, I think he had a good game. Very, very good tight encounter. So good to see that it wasn't a blowout. And there was only two games since our last show played over in the UK. On the 15th of October, St. Helens wiped the floor with Wakefield Trinity 48-6. And Hull FC did the same to the Castleford Tigers, also 48-6. So some big blowouts there. And for this week's matches, we've got on the 22nd of October, we've got the Castleford Tigers against Hull KR, Catalan Dragons versus Hull FC, and Huddersfield Giants versus Wakefield Trinity. Then on the 23rd of October, I've got the Wigan Warriors versus Salford Red Devils, St. Helens versus Leeds Rhinos. 25th of October, we've got Wakefield Trinity versus Hull KR. And then on the 26th of October, we've got Salford Red Devils versus St. Helens, Callan Dragons versus the Warrington Wolves, and the Leeds Rhinos versus Castleford Tigers. So we'll hopefully get some more results for you next week. But some good clashes in there, especially with St. Helens wanting to stay at the top of the ladder. So they've got some big games in there playing Salford and Leeds. They'll want to get that their points differential up a bit more, and Wigan will need to do some magic to try to take that spot. And I've got my fingers crossed. That moves me on to the local league. So there's a bit more this week because we had the national premiership and the national competition up and running. So round three, the men's premiership, the Akaranga Falcons wiped the floor with the Canterbury Bulls 68-4. And County's Manukau Stingrays defeated Waikato 44-20. On the women's side of things, the Akaranga Falcons dealt to Canterbury 62-6, and County's Manukau Stingrays did more of the same, defeating the Mid-Central Vipers 62-14. And then moving on, we'll talk about the finals of those two competitions in a bit, because they're going to line up with the national championship. But the national championship, which we spoke about briefly last week, they actually did the whole round robin part of their competition over the weekend. So they did all three rounds bang in 2 days. So round one saw the Wellington Orcas lose to the Northern Swords 28-12, and Upper Central defeat the Mid-Central Vipers 32-10. Round two saw the Mid-Central Vipers defeat the Wellington Orcas 30-24, and Mid-Central defeat the Northern Swords 22-20. And then in the last round, you saw the Northern Swords defeat the Mid-Central Vipers 26-16, and the Wellington Orcas get their first win of the round robin by beating Upper Central 30-14. That goes into the women's competition, which saw in round one, the Wellington Orcas defeated the Northern Swords 18-12. Upper Central defeated Auckland Vulcans 18-14. Round two saw Upper Central defeat the Northern Swords 42-10. Auckland Vulcans defeat Wellington Orcas 30-14. And then in the final round, we saw Upper Central defeat the Orcas 22-10, and the Vulcans defeat the Northern Swords 40-8. So I know there was a lot of results there in one go, but that's leading to grand final day. So all those competitions are all going to have their final on the same day, which is the 31st of October at Truss Arena in Henderson. So at 10:30 on the 31st, we've got the National Women's Championship, which is going to be Upper Central versus the Auckland Vulcans. National Men's Championships next up at 12:15. They've got the Northern Swords versus Upper Central. Then at 2:05, we've got the National Women's Premiership, which is the Akarena Falcons versus the County's Manukau Stingrays. And then finally, the last game, which is at 4:05, we've got the National Men's Premiership, which is the Akaranga Falcons against the County's Manukau Stingrays. So if you're in Auckland and in the area, I suggest going out. There's a lot of good talent, as I've said, after watching these games, and I think it'll be a great day out. And it's going to be interesting. I think the Premiership games between Auckland and Counties are going to be the ones to watch. We know the Men's Premiership, we talked a few weeks back, they played each other and went to a draw. So there's nothing between these sides, really, and anyone could win on the day, and should be a great time out. See there, Mark, you've asked a question as well about when the Super League finishes. I believe they're still looking at trying to get the final to happen, I think, mid-November. So in a couple of weeks, they're kind of squishing the rounds together because they're only up to round 18 at the moment, and they're trying to get as many games as they can done as quickly as they can without disadvantaging any teams by giving them a real short turnaround. So it's with COVID, you never, especially in the UK right now, it's not doing that well. They're just kind of trying to get as much as they can out before they get a bad situation where they might have to delay games again. So yeah, I'd say mid-November. So around the same time Australians are enjoying State of Origin, they should be getting into their finals. So before we wrap it up tonight, is there any more questions from anyone, Paul?
No, you've picked up that one there. I guess a couple of comments from Simon rather than questions. He's mentioned that the RFL own grounds in Bradford, so there's potential there for holding the grand final in one of their own grounds in Bradford, but I guess the question mark there is how big are those, and but then if you're not allowed crowds, who cares how big it is, right?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. I they're not allowed crowds right now, so I don't think it really matters how big the stadium is. So that could be their option, especially since they own it.
Also apparently the Canadian team is looking at, there's a second Canadian team joining some of the lower tier competitions as well. You've got to say, one of the problems with the Toronto Wolfpack, I think, for the Super League was the cost of travel. And so you got to wonder how a team in a lower league competition in Europe or in the UK, how are they going to afford the travel across for that? That would be, I have no idea how that would kind of work. Let's be honest. When your sponsor of Super League is a pizza franchise that pays in pizzas, not in cash, there's not a lot of money going around to be sort of flying players transatlantic like that. And especially if you've got a COVID thing as well.
Yeah, I think COVID's made it so different, where you're not getting those fans to the games and not making that extra bit of money. So I think, and like we're going to see in a lot of sports all around the world, I think there's going to be a lot of tightening of the purse strings a bit next year, and maybe the Wolfpack will unfortunately be affected by it, but time will see. I think if they want to look ahead to the future, I think they've got to keep them around somehow, because they want to try to grow the game, and that North American market's kind of a prime place to try to take a foothold, especially with Southern Hemisphere so preoccupied with the NRL. I think that's really the place to go, rather than trying to get viewers down here. So, yeah, be interesting to see, and hopefully we've got some answers by the end of the week.
Yep, I was thinking, well, that how that second team could afford it. That sort of boggles the mind a bit.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's what we've got from the live chat. And thank you, everyone who has joined us in the live chat. It's always great to have you there, and I sit in the live chat chatting with you whilst Brad's doing the actual talking.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks for that, Paul. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in with me tonight and joining me on New Zealand Sports Radio show, The Standoff, with Brad. For your weekly update on rugby league, remember to tune in on the podcast on iHeartRadio or Facebook. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sports Radio. Oh, it's Sport Radio, sorry. And thank you and good night.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.